15 this morning. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, and when you find your place in Romans 15, we'll stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Thank God for a King James Bible, amen. I've been singing about going that way. It's just got me all stirred up by thinking about still going the old-time way. Amen. Still having the old-time Bible and the old-time hymns. And I'm not ashamed of being old-fashioned, are you? Amen. I'm not ashamed of the old paths. I'm not ashamed of the old-time way. It is still the good way. And it's still God's way. Amen. It's still the right way. And so I thank God for it. Amen. Romans chapter 15. And look with me in verse number 22, Romans chapter 15 and verse number 22. The Bible says, "For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come to you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you. If first I be somewhat filled with your company, but now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace this morning. Thank you for letting us be in your house and all that you've done so far. Lord, it's been good to be together and, Lord, to assemble ourselves together once again. And, Father, to thank you for the good fellowship and the prayers that have been prayed this morning. And, Lord, for the good Sunday school hour. Lord, for the giving that's been done. And, Lord, I just thank you for, Lord, everyone that you've brought out to the house of God this morning, giving us the health and the faculties, Lord, to even be here. And Lord, putting a King James Bible in our hands and the Spirit of God that guides us into all truth. And Lord, I just thank you for all that you've done. You sure have been good to us. And Lord, I pray that you would help us now as we've come to this time of preaching. Lord, I pray that you would bless and you would take over and take control. Lord, this service is certainly yours. And we pray that your will would be done. Father, I pray that nothing would grieve your spirit. Nothing would grieve your presence. Lord, I pray that you'd set a watch over my lips and help me to only say what you'd have me to say. Nothing more, nothing less. And Father, I pray for that lost soul that'd be here among us this morning, that you would do, Lord, that convicting work in that heart. Lord, you would draw them to the foot of the cross. Lord, I pray that today would be the day of repentance and faith, Lord, that they would repent of their sins, put their faith in Christ, and be born again, be made a new creature in Christ. Father, I pray for those of us that are saved, Lord, that you would draw us close to thee, teach us of your word, teach us of yourself, and Lord, I pray that you would help us to be more like you and to serve you better and more fervently in these last days. Well, thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, as we are looking here in Romans chapter 15, we're actually in the conclusion of this letter here that the Apostle Paul's writing unto the church there at Rome. The conclusion, the conclusion part of the letter kind of starts in about verse number 13 of chapter 15, somewhere around in there, and then kind of goes through the end of the book, latter part of chapter 15, and then chapter 16, where he's kind of concluding and then kind of is giving his last charge throughout the end of chapter 15. And then whenever we get over into chapter 16, it's a lot of greetings and salutations. Tell this person I said this, salute this person, you know, things like that, things that you do whenever you're talking to someone on the phone that you hadn't seen in a long time. You know, tell your family I said hello. follow, all those things. And that's kind of what we get in the last chapter of Romans. So either way, we're in the conclusion here. And what the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, is laying forth here is his plans for the future. He's telling the church of what he plans to do, where he plans to go, and he lays out his plans to come see them. Now, if you remember, all the way back when we first started preaching through Romans, how the introductory part of it, chapter 1, we kind of dealt with the fact that really the Apostle Paul has not been to Rome yet. And he doesn't even know all these people. He's never visited this church. He's sending this letter ahead of time, likely writing from Corinth. And he's sending this letter ahead of time to lay the foundation of the gospel before he gets there. And to kind of just send it ahead. The letter's kind of the forerunner of Paul. It's going to get there before he does. But for a long time, the Apostle Paul has had this desire to get to Rome. And we see that right here. He actually writes that and says that right here, that for a long time he's desired and wanted to get to Rome. And there's probably a lot of reasons for that. It's a very strategic place for the gospel. If he could reach Rome, he could reach the whole known world of that time, virtually. All roads lead to Rome in this day, so to speak. That's what the saying was. And so for a long time he's had plans to get to Rome, but he just hasn't made it yet. And so he's got this journey, he's got this these travel plans, if you will, that just haven't come together yet. God hasn't allowed it to happen. Various things have not allowed it to happen. But that's really what we're getting here. We're getting kind of his final plans. And so I want to preach to you for a few minutes this morning on this thought of travel plans. Travel plans. Now, there's a lot of people who like to travel. I like to travel. Me and Hannah have done some traveling, both ministry-related and non-ministry-related. I remember right before we had kids, we made a trip to Ireland, and we wanted to do something like that before we started having children. And you know how it is, whenever you've had kids, it gets a lot tougher to make big trips like that, and it gets a lot more expensive, too. Ain't that right? And so we wanted to do kind of a big trip before we had children. We were able to, you know, and so we made a big trip to Ireland, and boy, we loved it. We've made other trips, and we've talked about and thought about traveling and making plans and doing trips. And I mean, it's fun to travel, isn't it? I mean, I enjoy traveling. And it seems like it's just kind of part of human nature to go and travel and see, and it's always exciting. Well, one thing that we know about Paul is that Paul was a traveling man. Paul was always on the road, so to speak. Paul was always making journeys. As a matter of fact, one specific thing that was mentioned by the Apostle Paul is one of the things that he endured for the gospel's sake. Over in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 26, he mentions in journey often. And that was one of the things in that big list of things that he said he endured for the gospel's sake was in journeyings often. Because though journeying is fun, journeying is kind of a burden too. And I mean, it wears you out and it wears you down. And especially for a man like the Apostle Paul, who's doing it because he's compelled by the will of God. And he's compelled by the gospel. These were not pleasure trips and pleasure journeys he was making. These were ministry trips, ministry journeys. These were missionary trips. These were difficult places he was going, and these were the areas that he was going into that had no gospel witness, but because he was compelled and called by the Holy Spirit of God, he was going. Amen. And I want to say for just a second, thank God for the call. Amen. Hey, listen, thank God for any missionary that would go to a foreign field. Thank God for any preacher that would preach or pastor a church or anything like that. But one thing is for sure, it takes a call. Isn't that right? Because listen to me, anything you do for God, you ought to have a burden. You need to have a burden. But listen to me, the burden comes and the burden goes. But when the burden is gone, the call will always be there. Amen. And thank God that there have been times that I didn't even feel like preaching. There have been times I didn't even feel like going to church. But yet the call was still there. Amen. There's been times I've wanted to quit and probably times that you want to quit. But thank God the call and the fire is always there when the burden is long gone. Amen. Thank God for the call, and it always takes a call. And the call is what compelled Paul to make his journeys, these missionary journeys to go and to preach. And he didn't travel as a tourist, though he saw many wonders of the ancient world. Did you know that? Did you know that the Temple of Diana there in Greece is one of the seven wonders of the ancient world? And the Apostle Paul saw it with his own eyes. Amen. Did you know that the Roman Colosseum, though a portion of it still stands, is one of the seven wonders of the ancient world? And the Apostle Paul no doubt saw it with his own eyes. Did you know that the Parthenon in Athens was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world? And though Paul didn't go to see it and take a snapshot, he saw it with his own eyes. Amen. He saw all these things. God took him many different places. He was exposed to all these things, but his plan and his purpose in traveling was greater than earthly things. Amen. It was beyond seeing things from the eyes of a tourist, and it was instead of being a sightseer, the Apostle Paul traveled to be a soul winner. Amen. He went everywhere he went to take the gospel and to preach the message that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Amen. And so he was a traveler. The Apostle Paul had travel plans. And he is our pattern. He's the one, that the example that God has set forth for us, for His people. And you know, God's people, we're all travelers. We are travelers. We are in a pilgrim land. This world is not our home. Amen? As a matter of fact, if you would turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2, I was going to just read this verse to you, but I want you to actually see it with your own eyeballs. Amen? 1 Peter chapter number 2, and look with me in verse number 11. Now, this is what Peter said. We've been reading looking through the apostolic letters, the letters written by Paul, but another apostle, a man by the name of Peter, wrote this letter. And he said in chapter 2, verse 11, he said, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims." Amen. He said, "I beseech you," that is, "I beg of you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation," that is your day-to-day lifestyle, "having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation." Amen. So we are strangers and pilgrims. And one of the things specifically that Peter points out in 1 Peter chapter 2 is that the fact that we are strangers and we are pilgrims, the fact that this world is not our home, is all the more reason to live godly in this wicked generation. Amen. Because here's the thing, man. One of these days, not long from now, all this is going to be over. Amen. Don't get your roots too deep down here. Don't get too invested down here. Listen, turn loose of your flesh and turn loose of this world and get your heart set on heavenly things, because it won't be long before we're standing before God. Amen. It won't be long before we're given an account. Amen. Listen, this world is not our home. We are traveling through and just passing through in these days. Amen. And the thing is, what we all need to be reminded of, I think, is that we only make this journey once. We only travel through this life one time. And because we only do it once, and because it's short, because it is quick, because it's here and then it's gone, you better make it count for God. Because whenever it's all over and it's all said and done, that's the only thing that's going to matter. That's the only thing that's going to matter. I want to point out three different things this morning regarding the Apostle Paul, because, see, he's talking about literal physical travel plans, what he actually plans to do. But God put it in His Word to give us spiritual application, I believe, here. Things that we can see through the life of the Apostle Paul and his actual travel plans that we can apply to our life. Because again, he is our pattern. That doesn't mean that it's God's will for you to sell out and be a missionary and start going and planting churches like the Apostle Paul. That's not God's will for everybody. Amen? But there are some general truths in here that are God's will for everybody. And I think we can see them this morning regarding his travel plans. First of all, with his plans, the Apostle Paul's traveling plans, by the way, specifically, if you want to see the details of his travel plans, you can read about it in the book of Acts. If you want to take the time to read through the book of Acts, you'll see his journeyings and his plans and everything that he did. You can read about all of them specifically. But right here in this passage, his plans involves three different things. And first of all, these travel plans are perplexing plans. Look with me in verse number 22. He says, "For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you." That's kind of perplexing. Because the Apostle Paul's had these plans for a long time. The Apostle Paul's had the desire in his heart to get to Rome for a long time. And as he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he says he has been hindered from getting there. You know, that word hindered there means to be cut into. That is, God has cut into His plans. And His path to Rome has been cut off. No matter how bad He's wanting to go, and no matter how much He even believes it's God's will for Him to go, the fact is He hasn't made it yet, because with every plan He's made and every step He's made, some way, somehow, God has stepped in and intervened and not allowed Him to go. Amen? I don't know if there were times when He had the ticket bought and paid for. I don't know if He had, if there were times whenever He had the trip planned out. Maybe He was planning on leaving the following morning and the ship sink, or there's a flat tire on the chariot, or whatever the case is, whatever reason it is, the fact is He just did not get to make the journey, though He planned to many, many times, and though He felt like it was God's will. You know, it can be perplexing sometimes whenever you pray over God's will and you seek God's will and you seek a plan from God on what God wants you to do and the direction that He wants you to go, and you seem like you get settled and you seem like you get peace and you seem like God tells you and shows you, this is what I want to do in your life. This is the direction that I'm going to lead you. And yet time after time, it is hindered, and there things come up and it doesn't come through and it doesn't come together and it doesn't materialize, even though you know in your heart this is what God wants. I believe that's where the Apostle Paul was. And no doubt those times can be very perplexing in our life, can they not? Can they not leave us scratching our heads thinking, Lord, have I missed it? Lord, have I gone the wrong direction? Lord, did I miss Your will when I thought I had it? Lord, I was trying to listen to You and trying to obey You. Lord, have You forgotten me? Lord, you know, what is going on here? And we can scratch our heads and be perplexed and not know what in the world is going on, because I've tried to do God's will and I've tried to do what's right, and yet it's just not coming together. You know, there's a lot of biblical hindrances mentioned off of the Bible. One of those biblical hindrances, and ultimately all of them, lead to this, and that is God Himself. God Himself is the greatest hinderer of plans there is. Nobody's messed up more of your plans and messed up more of my plans than God. Isn't that right? No force in the universe is a greater hindrance to the plans of humanity than Almighty God. Amen? And thank God for it. Amen? Aren't you thankful for the things that you prayed for that God never gave you sometimes? Aren't you thankful for some of the unanswered prayers? The things that you thought you wanted in the heat of the moment? The things you thought you wanted in that season of life? That person or that thing or that job or whatever it was that you thought you wanted and you thought would be so great, and yet God never gave it to you, and you're disappointed and you're let down and you're wondering why God has forgotten you and why God's not blessing you? And then 10 years down the road, you look back and you say, oh, I thank God that He never let me go that way. I thank God He never let me go that direction, because I'd never be where I am now had He had not stepped in and hindered my plans. Amen. And so God Himself is the greatest hindrance to plans. But you know, biblically speaking, Satan himself is a hindrance to plans sometimes. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians and talked about specifically that they were hindered by Satan. Satan hindered them. Amen. And so sometimes the devil's working against you. And I'll tell you this, if you ever want to do anything for God, the devil's certainly going to be working against you. And the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more demonic activity we're going to see, the more the devil is going to work against God's people and work against the church. And you say, Brother Jacob, where do you get that from the Bible? Well, you just turn to the book of Revelation and you'll find the wrath and the anger of that great dragon, because he knows he has but a short time. Amen. And you and I can look around and we can see the signs coming together. We can see the prophecies fulfilled. We know that any day now, Jesus could come. Amen. Listen, that eastern sky will roll back like a scroll. And listen, some glad, glorious morning, some glad golden daybreak, Jesus is going to appear. Amen. And bless the name of God, we're getting out of here. Hallelujah. But listen to me, as we look around and we see all those things, we see the signs of the times, and we see things coming together, and we're telling sinners, you better get right, because you hadn't got much time, and it could be today. Amen. And once Jesus comes, your fate is sealed. Your eternity is sealed. Amen. We're preaching that to sinners, and we're believing that in our heart. But don't you know that if we believe, the devil believes it too? Oh, he knows, amen. He knows more of the Bible than you know, amen. And he sees what's going on, and he knows what's going on, and he's furious about it, and he can't change it, amen. As hard as he tries, he cannot change the will and the ways of God, amen. And it makes him furious. He's just too proud. He's got too big of an ego to change course and to change sides, amen. He's going to try till his dying day, so to speak, to change God's plan and to change God's path. But it ain't going to happen. Amen. And so because he can't change God, and because he knows that, he's going to come after you and me. Isn't that right? And he will do his very best to hinder you any way that he can. He'll put a hindering relationship in your life. He'll put a hindering friendship in your life. He'll dangle some hindering carrot out there for you, get you to chasing something that's not God's will, amen, and it will hinder the path that God has for you in your life. And according to the Bible, not my opinion, but according to the Bible, Satan himself hinders. And so God hinders. Satan is a hindrance. But then also, do you know people are a hindrance? Amen. People are one of the greatest hindrances. I'm telling you, the devil will use people to hinder you. Amen. And he'll use people that he'll use those that come under the guise of good people. He'll use those that come at you as bad people. He'll use both of them. Amen. Listen, the devil has transformed himself into an angel of light, and he's transformed people that are full of the devil into angels of light too. Amen. Listen, he'll bring somebody into your life, and you'll think they're too good to be true. Oh, they're such a great friend. Oh, this is such a great person. Oh, this is such a great guy. Such a great girl. I'm telling you, God, the devil will bring people in your life that will hinder you if you're not careful. Amen. Anybody that's ever been saved has got some cousin, got some uncle, got some aunt, got some family member that the devil has got there to hinder them. You better believe your family will be one of your greatest hindrances if you ever try to live for God. Amen. Would to God all of our family was saved. Would to God all of us had a godly generation or a godly heritage. Would to God all of us were surrounded in our own homes with saved family that loved God and was going the old time way. But the fact is, that's just not the case. Isn't that right? The fact is, well, a lot of us are praying for our families and we're seeking God and we're burdened and we want to see them get saved and we beg God, Lord, to work in their heart to save them. And the fact is, though, that they are lost and a lot of them are full of the devil. And the devil will use them to hinder you and get you way off course in these last days if you're not careful. Isn't that right? People are a hindrance, and then circumstances are a hindrance. Man, isn't it something how a lot of times whenever you've got a plan and you feel like it's God's will, you may even know that it's God's will. Like, this is what God wants, and just the circumstances will not come together. And no matter how hard you try, you just can't make it work. Amen. I tell you, if anything has humbled me in my life and gotten me to the place that I realize that I cannot do anything without the Lord, if anything has done that in my life, it's pastoring a church. Amen. And I'm sure probably all of us can look at things in our lives that say, boy, God really used that to humble me and make me realize I just cannot do it. Amen. But I tell you, I don't know what it is for you, but I can tell you what it is for me. And it's been pastoring the church and doing ministry. Amen. Because the fact is, you can't change people. Amen. And you can't make people get saved. You can't make people love God. You can't make things come together. You can't make the circumstances, you know, work out and pan out. I'm telling you, if God doesn't do it, it will not be done. And it's the same in my life. It's the same in your life. It's the same for all of us, that if anything's going to come together for us, it will be God that does it. People forget about this biblical principle. Me and Brother Caleb were talking about this at the game night, Friday night. We were sitting around talking about how people forget about the biblical principle. It's one word. It's all through the Bible. You know what word it is? Favor. People forget about the biblical principle of divine favor. Amen. If God does not favor you, if God does not favor me, if God does not give us divine favor, nothing will be accomplished. Amen. That's why you see saved people who get crossways with God or crossways with the church and make up their mind they're going to go the way of the world, and they leave the house of God, they leave the work of God, and they go to the world. You never see them ever having any real degree of true success in life. Oh, they may go out and make a bunch of money. And they may go out and get everything that they want in the flesh. But they lose everything that's really important in life. They lose their families. They lose their kids. Amen. They lose their testimony. They lose their influence for God. They lose their convictions. They lose their standards. They lose everything. Everything that's important. They lose it. Amen. Because you can't keep that stuff and have the world too. Amen. Because you will not leave God and maintain His favor. You and I, we've got to have God's favor on our lives. And God's favor is not something that can be added and subtracted on a piece of paper. You can't add it up with arithmetic. You can't put it all together. Amen. Listen, God's favor shows up sometimes in keeping that washer and dryer going for 40 years. Amen. God's favor shows up sometimes in not having to buy a set of tires even though you got 200,000 miles on them. God's favor shows up in keeping that car going. God's favor shows up in keeping things running. God's favor shows up in keeping your shoes from wearing out for 40 years. And if you don't believe me, ask the children of Israel. They'll tell you. Amen. That is the way God's favor shows up. And it doesn't always add up in your bank account. And it doesn't always add up in things seen. But thank God there is an unseen hand. There's things unseen that you can't add up and you can't put your finger on. But God's doing it for you. Praise God. Amen. We must have His favor. Otherwise, the circumstances will never work out. And so these are perplexing plans. You know, if you're doing right, keep living for Him regardless of the hindrances. Regardless of whatever hindering for... Listen, just keep doing what's right. We talked about it before. That's what Billy Mitchell used to say. You know, people say, well, what are we going to do in these last days? And he'd always say, if you're doing right, just keep doing what you're doing. Amen? And that is the fact. Listen, every now and then, when things are hindering us and things are working against us, it's good to step back and evaluate and say, well, Lord, have I missed it? Am I really right? It's good to take a good look at yourself and see if you're the one that's wrong. Amen? That's good. But listen to me. You can do that and find that you're still wrong. And God will let you know. He'll tell you if it's you, and He'll tell you if it's Him. Amen? And if He tells you it's Him and tells you you're on the right course, just stay the course. Amen? In spite of all the hindrances. And by the way, God will tell you. If you want to know, God will tell you. He'll tell you if you're the problem or if He's the one doing the hindering. Amen. He will tell you. He'll give you that sweet consolation. He'll give you that peace that passes all understanding just to keep moving forward. Amen? Because see, here's the thing. The plan may be God's plan, but it may just not be His time. This plan to get to Rome was God's plan. And ultimately, the Apostle Paul would make it to Rome. He wouldn't make it when he wanted to make it. He didn't get there how he thought he'd get there. He didn't get there when he'd get there. He didn't get there in the circumstances he thought there, but he did get there. Amen? And he did accomplish God's will, and he did accomplish God's purpose. Everything that God told him and put in his heart would happen did happen. It just didn't at all happen when and how he thought it would happen. Amen? See, listen, don't think that there's super Christians out there. If you're not careful, you listen to some of these preachers, and I'm sure they don't mean to, but the way they preach, they'll get you thinking you're missing something. Like they've got something you don't have. They've got some insight you don't have, you know. Like I prayed and God showed me this, and then they never questioned it again. I mean, I've heard, and again, I'm sure they don't mean to do that, but you know, you talk to people and people start talking spiritual and you'll get the devil get on your shoulder and make you think, man, God's showing them things He's not showing you and God's helping them in ways He's not helping you. But I want you to know something. Anyone that's ever tried to do something for God, and anyone that's tried to ever be faithful, and anyone that's ever tried to do God's will, anyone that's tried to do God's plan for their life, listen, they've experienced this thing right here. Even the Apostle Paul himself had God's plan and had God's will, but it just wasn't coming together the way he thought it would. And he had to wait, and he was hindered. So I'm just simply saying it may be God's plan, but it may just not be His time yet. They're perplexing plans. Number two, travel plans are precise plans. Paul says in verse number 23, he said, "But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you." He makes that statement, having no more place in these parts. That doesn't mean he's being run out. That doesn't mean I've got nowhere to go and nobody will have me anymore and I've got to get out of town, you know. Now, that did happen in some cities, you know. They say Apostle Paul, whenever he'd go into a place to preach, he looked for the Motel 6 or the local jail. I mean, it was one or the other, right? It was either a revival or a riot. They were either everybody's getting saved or they were running him out of town, one or the other. But that was not the case here. He's not saying that he's got no more place to go. What he's saying is that he's finished his assignment. I have no more place here. There's no more area for me to go. There's no more place in these parts. I've been everywhere I'm supposed to be. I've done everything God told me to do here. I've gone everywhere I'm supposed to go. And I've finished my assignment here. And it's now time for me to move on. See, what you got to understand about Paul is that Paul was a man who laid foundations. That was his ministry. Amen? And that doesn't mean it's everybody's ministry. That was his ministry. As a matter of fact, if you back up to verse number 20, he says, "Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation." Paul wasn't looking to build on somebody else's foundation. He was looking to go into the unknown areas and the unreached areas and lay the foundation of the gospel. That's what God called him to do. And God still calls missionaries to do that. To go into places and lay the foundation and start the churches and sow the seed. Amen? To lay the foundation. And that's not God's call in all of our life, but God does call people to do that. And that was a call on the Apostle Paul's life. That's what God called him to do. To lay the foundation. That's the ministry he had over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse number 10, he said to the church at Corinth, he said, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder," he said, "I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon." He laid the foundation, he started the church, he preached the gospel, people got saved, the church started, and then somebody else and built on it. But he laid the foundation. And what he's saying is, I've laid the foundation everywhere it could be laid here. I've finished my course in this area. I have finished my assignment here, and it's time for me to go on. I've accomplished my purpose, and it's time for me to move ahead. Now notice verse number 23. He says, "Now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you." He has a plan to go to Rome. And he has for many years, the Bible says. And so he's got his plan. And what he does is he lays out his plans and then he follows his plans. You know, that's a good example for all of God's people. Again, this is all literal plans that he's had that he's writing to. But again, he's our pattern. He's our example. And looking at his example and the way he performed his ministry and the way he lived for God, it'd be wise for us to take into consideration the things that he did and do it like him. Because he said, "Be ye followers of me as I am of God. Be ye followers of me as I am of Christ." And Paul was a man who was precise in his planning. He no doubt sought the Lord. He no doubt sought God's will. He prayed. He walked with God. He was in tune with God regarding his future and regarding his plans and regarding every step in his life. He was in tune with God looking for the will of God. And he would make a plan that really was God's plan, and then he would follow that plan. You know, a lot of people, they don't have any plans for their life. When I say people, I mean saved people. They have no plans for their life. They just live day to day. They have no sense of direction. They have no sense of no plans for the future. They've never prayed, "God, what do you want me to do?" They've never sought God or thought about, you know, what's God's plan for me? What's God's desire for me? They just float day to day with no real direction in their life. But you know, as one of God's children, you ought to find God's plan and follow it. God's plan. And if you don't know, you ought to seek it. That's right. You ought to seek it. You ought to find you a prayer altar somewhere and ask God, "Lord, show me your plan. Show me what you want me to do. Show me what direction you want me to go." And God's not going to necessarily write it in the sky and, you know, show you all the paths and show you all the directions. But I'm telling you what God will do. He will impress your heart and He will show you and He will direct you on what it is He wants you doing in life. Do you know that if you don't plan to live for God, you won't? If you have no plan to live for the Lord, if you have no plan to serve God, you never will. You never will. And so find God's plan and follow that plan. So they're precise plans. And last of all, these were pursued plans. Look in verse number 24. The Bible says, "Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company." And Paul here, writing in the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, is confident in his plans, so he continues to pursue them. Even though he's been hindered for many years, he says, he continues to pursue them and continues to move in the direction that God's put in his heart to go. Because he's confident in it, and so he continues to pursue it. Now, he's hindered now, but he's not excited about it. You know, that's our problem a lot of times. We get in our head what we want, what we think God wants us to do, and you know, whenever we're hindered, we get all excited and so worked up, and we get all discouraged and so disgruntled over the hindrance in our life because, you know, the flesh always wants to think that if it's God's will, it'll be smooth sailing, right? If it's God's will, there will be no hindrance, no ups, no downs, no ditches, I mean, no problem. If it's God's will, man, it'll just all work out smooth as can be. But that's not necessarily the case. You can see so many illustrations and examples all through the Word of God of people that were right smack dab in the middle of the will of God when they encountered great hindrances and great problems and great difficulties. Job's a good example. I thought about Joseph. Is there a better illustration of it than Joseph? God showed him as a 17-year-old boy those sheaves bowing down. He showed him as a little boy, you know, all the things that he was going to do and allowed him to interpret those dreams. He didn't just show him, give him the dream. He allowed him to interpret it, to know what he was going to do in those dreams. But it didn't happen the next day. It didn't even happen the next week or the next year. It was a long time before it ever came together. And it sure wasn't smooth sailing either, was it? You know, I just wonder sometimes in some of those jail cells, some of those prisons that Joseph was in along the way, I wonder if he ever sat back and thought, did I really dream those dreams? I mean, did God really tell me that all those things? Or did I just miss it here? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say he thought that, but I can tell you this. I've had those thoughts before. I've had times where I thought, I mean, I just knew, like, this is what God wants. This is what God wants me to do. This is the direction God wants me to go. And, I mean, He just impressed me, give me peace. And things just not work out the way I thought it would and envisioned it in my mind. And, man, things roll on for long enough, and you start thinking, man, did I miss this thing? Or does it, I mean, did I really hear that? Did I really see that? Is that really what you told me to do? You know, John the Baptist, I think, dealt with that. Christ's own words, his own opinion of John the Baptist is that there is none greater born of woman than John the Baptist. And yet whenever John found himself in a dark place and found his ministry not necessarily working out maybe the way he had planned it in the flesh, the way he thought it through the eyes of the flesh, he was down there, that's it, he was down there in jail and things weren't working out. He sent some of his disciples to ask the Lord, "Lord, are you really the one that we're supposed to be following, or do we look for another?" Some say he was discouraged, some say he wasn't. I think he was. And I think he was because that's been my own experience sometimes. Not that I ever questioned the Lord, not that I ever questioned and thought about going back to the world or anything like that, but sometimes you just get to the place and you think, "Lord, did I just miss this thing?" I'm telling you, it can work on you. But here's the thing. We have to learn to not get so excited every time God hinders a plan or allows it to be hindered. See, the Apostle Paul's got this desire, but he's not excited about it. He's not discouraged about it. What he does is, in the hindrance, he just yields to the work of God. He just yields to God's will. He just yields to God's direction. And that's the place we've got to get to, because ultimately, that's it. That's what it is. We want things to work out the way we want to work out. And whenever it doesn't, pride steps in and you don't want to yield and just be okay with the fact that this is the way God wants it Paul here, though, he trusts the Lord to work it out all in the end. And God will work it out in the end. The lesson here is that there's a big difference in immediate plans and ultimate plans. In your life and all of our lives, there's a big difference in immediate plans and ultimate plans. See, immediate plans are this. They're the things that we plan to do today. They're the things that we plan to do in the near future. The direction that we plan to go. It's what we plan to do. And these things get disrupted at times. These plans, the immediate plan, they get messed up at times. Because it's what we're doing right now. See, the hindrance to Paul's immediate plan didn't upset him, and it sure didn't upset the ultimate plan. Because even though immediate plans get disrupted at times, ultimate plans never do. If your ultimate plan is right. Because immediate plans are what we're doing now, but the ultimate plan that Paul had was preaching the gospel. It was serving God. It was doing the will of God. And you know, those things can be done no matter where you are in life. No matter how great the hindrance. And so if this is your ultimate plan, if your ultimate plan is to do God's will and you're sold out to do what He wants you to do, it will never be hindered no matter what happens in your life. No matter what happens. The ultimate plan of doing the will of God and serving God and preaching the gospel and reaching the lost and getting the gospel to somebody, having someone to tell about Jesus, that will never be disrupted ever if you're sold out to His plan. Because you can preach the gospel wherever you are in any situation. You say, well, how can that be so? Well, Paul and Silas reached that Philippian jailer when they were in jail. Amen. I mean, you can look all through and you can look at the bad situations, the hindrance of plans where God used the hindrance of that plan specifically to reach somebody. As a matter of fact, you see it all through Paul's journeys. The hindering, the thing that kept him from getting to Rome was the thing that allowed all those churches to get planted in the area that he was in. So you should never stop serving God where you are just because you're not getting down the road where you want to go. Amen. They are pursued plans. So, thinking about plans. Do you have a plan? Do you have God's plan for your life as you journey through this life? And the question is, what do your plans or lack thereof say about your love for the Lord? If you show me somebody's plan for their life, I'll show you how much they love God or how much they don't love God. I'll show you how mindful they are of the will of God or how absent-minded they are regarding God's will. Because they're either thinking about His will or they're not. What do your plans say about your burden for the lost? If you don't plan to live for God, you're not going to. We only travel through this life once. You better make it count for God. Amen. You better be intentional about getting God's plan and living it out in your life. You may need to pray and ask God to help you to know His plan and will for your life. You may need to confess and get right because you made your plans without Him. A lot of people, they just make their plans for their life and leave God out of it. And that should never be the testimony of a Christian. Let's pray. Father, I come before Your throne of grace. Thank You for helping us with Your word. I pray that You'll take it and use it. Bless in the altar call. Well, thank You for what You do in Jesus' name. Amen.